me tonight and stand. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and we'll stop at verse 6 where we will find our text. Matthew 5, Christ's Sermon on the Mount here. Beginning in verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord, to gather around your word. And God, I pray that you would, Lord, allow us to set the cares of this world aside for just a few moments. And Lord, the events of tomorrow and Friday. And Lord, I pray that we could set those out of our mind for just a moment, focus on your word. And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We all have needs here, needs represented. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us tonight, speak to our hearts and encourage where encouragement is needed. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be able to leave saying it's been good to be in your house tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated tonight. You know, I'm thankful that Christ is concerned with our health. He's concerned with our spiritual health. Here we find in the Sermon on the Mount, a bunch of needy people. He's had throngs of people around him. And, you know, Christ, when there was people around, he ministered to the needs of people. He cared about the needs of people. And the crowds have come to him. But this is so important that he has pulled himself away and his disciples from the crowd for him just to preach to them. This is a message to the saved. He's preaching to the disciples here, and he is concerned about them and wants to deliver some things to them. And tonight I want us just to look into the fact that you will be as spiritually healthy to the same degree that you are spiritually hungry. You will be spiritually healthy to the degree that you're spiritually hungry. Nutritionalists, when you listen to them, they sometimes add a lot of drama into the importance of diet. They tell you you are what you eat. I guess to a certain extent that's true. You want to eat fast food and pastries, you'll begin to look like a walking pastry. They overemphasize it. But if that's the truth, it's pretty sound, that argument, as far as it goes. But when you think of the spiritual, you are what you eat is even more penetrating. It's even more piercing. You feed yourself on violence, excitement. Boy, you just look at this world, the sensualism, the materialism. You eventually personify. You'll become what you eat. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." It does not take long for what we dwell upon, what we think on, what we feed upon to be personified in who we are. You look around today and you look at Hollywood, you look at the professional athletes. What a pitiful sight. It's sad. You know, it can anger you. It saddens me. When I see them and see the materialism, the sensuality, they earn more money than we could spend in 10 lifetimes they earn in a year. See some of these athletes and it's ridiculous. $10 million a year contract. Are you kidding me? They are soaked up in materialism, though. You look at what they have in multi-million dollar homes in three or four different locations and five, six, seven vehicles and everything else in personal jets and everything that goes with them. And you think, wow, they have it made. And you see them committing suicide. You see their drug addictions. And you think they are in the pursuit of happiness and they're not finding it. They are pursuing it with all that they have, and they're not getting it. What Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, in just this simple verse here, verse 6, Jesus tells us what we ought to eat and how we must eat if we're going to have spiritual health. And not just spiritual health, but if we're going to truly find satisfaction in life. You know, so many people are looking for satisfaction in life. And boy, you look and you say, if every person today knew what it was to truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, the revival we've been praying for years would long have been here. The peace that the world can only talk of and dream of. We'd have no fear of some third world dictator possessing a nuclear weapon. Boy, if righteousness exalts a nation, and it most certainly does, it's imperative that we discover what true righteousness means. What does that mean? What did Christ mean when He preached this beatitude here? It follows the previous ones in verses 1 through 5 leading up to it. It's also a statement which the previous ones lead up to. They're there in order for a reason. You know, this can be a blessing and a comfort to the Christian. But to the lost, they see little interest in this. Boy, if you were to say, are you interested in being filled and blessed? Boy, they'd say, oh, yes. Well, my scriptures say we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Boy, you'd lose their interest pretty quickly. They would no longer be quite as interested. That's only for the religious right. That's only for you independent fundamental fanatics. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, really. You think that's going to fill you and make you blessed. That's what Christ says. We see a true test of Christianity here in this beatitude. Boy, do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You know, it's interesting as you go through the Beatitudes, and boy, it is a test of Christianity. It's a test of, it's what a true Christian ought to be. It doesn't mean that, boy, I look through these and, boy, I don't quite meet them. Oh, well, that does not mean you're lost. But, boy, as you go through them, boy, if you're saved, you ought to say, boy, that I need that. Boy, I fall short in this area, but, boy, do I hunger. Boy, do I have a desire to be what God wants me to be. Boy, I have a desire to be moving in the direction He wants to move me. This beatitude here is a little more positive and a little less negative. Oh, there's a little bit of a negative element to it, and we'll speak about that in just a moment. But there's a much more predominant positive one. Boy, leading up to this, we can see in the verses, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to mourn. Boy, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, there's so much preaching to do on mourning. Mourning over our sin. You know, the only time we find comfort and forgiveness is when we mourn over our sin. Our sin. The mourning over sin. The meekness. Boy, how meekness is so rare today. Boy, to find someone that's truly meek, a humble man, is a rare thing. Everyone's so proud today. We're to humble ourselves so that what? So that God can lift us up. You know, today we're so mixed around. Our job is to humble ourselves, and God's job is to lift us up. Folks, we got mixed around today. We're doing God's job, lifting ourselves up. And when we do God's job, it forces Him to do our job, humble ourselves. We get busy lifting up, and God says, you're supposed to be humbling, and I'll lift you up. So since you're trying to lift yourself up, I'm going to have to humble you. But it works so much better when you do it the Bible way. Blessed are the meek. We see the meek. Boy, we need to be meek. Here we find the answer to all of those. These other beatitudes cause us to rightfully look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. But in this one here, we are looking for and finding a solution in this one. The text divides itself rather nicely here. So first of all, I want us to look at the object of our hungering and thirsting. Righteousness. Righteousness is the object here. Blessed. It says, blessed are they. Blessed or truly happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, today many are looking for, many are seeking for happiness. That is the endless pursuit of happiness. The only truly happy people are those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Boy, it's a great tragedy. Though the world seeks and pursues happiness, happiness always stays one step ahead of them. They're never able to catch it. They're pursuing happiness, but they're one step behind it. They just can never quite catch up to it. Look at the present world, and it is given over to pursuing happiness, yet it is unsuccessful in its pursuit. Pursuing happiness. Just do what makes you happy. You hear people giving advice to young folks, and they say, you just need to follow your heart and do what makes you happy. And they go, oh, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word tells me my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better be careful. You better not just follow your heart if your heart isn't in tune with God. Your heart can lead you in a bad, bad, bad direction. Oh, just follow your heart. No, follow God's Word. Follow God's leading, not your heart. Our decisions need to be based on God's Word, not on our emotions. We see the world, though, emotionally pursuing happiness. Let's take a look at this negatively. What we are not to do. We are not to hunger and thirst after blessedness. We hear people saying, I just want to be blessed. I want to have a blessed home. I want to have a blessed life. I want to have a blessed career. I just want to be blessed. We're not to hunger and thirst after happiness. You know, unfortunately, this is exactly what most people are doing. The world is for sure, but unfortunately, many of God's people are doing the same. We make happiness and blessedness as the one thing we desire. Well, we desire to be blessed and we desire to be happy. And that's the reason we miss it. That's why it always eludes us. We pursue happiness. We pursue blessedness. When you look at the Scriptures and you look at this verse, happiness is not something that should be directly sought. Well, we're not to seek happiness. Happiness and blessedness are the byproduct. They are the result of seeking something else. It is the byproduct of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Happiness is the byproduct of it. Well, we got all mixed up. We're chasing happiness and we can never catch it because we're not supposed to be chasing it. Chasing the wrong thing. Whenever you put happiness before righteousness, you'll be guaranteed to be doomed to misery and disappointment. I'm going to put happiness. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I want to pursue happiness in my career rather than pursue righteousness. You'll never catch it. Will we get happiness and blessedness out ahead of righteousness? And that is a sure prescription for failure. Those who are truly happy are those who are seeking to be righteous. When you put happiness in the place of righteousness, you never get it. Boy, the world is caught up in this never-ending error. Pursuing happiness. Pursuing happiness. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, though, we find ourselves in the same trap. Pursuing happiness. Can't just be content to serve God righteously. Well, we're chasing after being happy. We think happiness is in a location. We think it's a geographic location and we're going to be happy when we get there. Never be happy when you get there. That's not where happiness is found. But I'll be so blessed if this happens. We get it all mixed around. It's caught up in this faulty reasoning. Well, I think if we have some horrible disease and it's causing us terrible pain and we go to the doctor and because nobody likes pain and the doctor's concerned about this and all the doctor does is treat the symptom, just treats the pain. Oh, he's a horrible doctor. We don't need to. We can leave feeling better, but it didn't answer the true problem. We want someone to get down to the root of the problem, someone that will diagnose what's truly wrong, so that the pain will go away as well. The patient can be treated for the pain, be pain-free, but yet the root problem is still there. The root cause is still there. Boy, it's a sad state of the world of the lost who want to be rid of their pain. So they run to anything the world has to offer them to mask the pain, to cover the pain, when they ought to be asking themselves the all-important question, what is the cause of my pain and unhappiness? Well, why am I always pursuing happiness and why am I so unhappy? It hurts to see people, lost people, never able to get happiness. I don't like to see anybody miserable, anybody sad, anybody frustrated. Boy, we want to see people satisfied and fulfilled and happy. But sadly, it can be said, as I have stated earlier, some of the saved as well. They spend their whole life in search of something which they can never find, seeking for happiness, seeking for blessedness. Well, I've met some that one of our previous churches that we were at had a big camp meeting. And boy, it was interesting, some of the folks that would show up to camp meeting. And they just followed camp meeting to camp meeting. It was like that's what they did. They just traveled around from camp meeting to camp meeting, and that was like their life. And they were looking for some new and exciting boost. They were looking for some emotional stirring. They were looking for happiness. They were seeking for blessedness. They would see it in church folks and they would say, they've got it. They've got happiness. I want happiness, so I'm going to chase happiness. Boy, that's where we get messed up. Boy, the people that are truly happy, that are truly content, happy, satisfied, and blessed are those who are pursuing righteousness. Who have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we see their happiness and we want to pursue what they have, that is not how it works. We must follow the scriptural way. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Boy, let us determine not to put blessedness or happiness or experience in first place in our desires. So what's meant by righteousness? Well, it's pretty simple. The desire for righteousness, the act of hungering and thirsting, we think, well, what does that mean? It means to desire to be free from sin and all its forms and manifestations in our life. That's being righteous. It's being right with God. It means a desire within us to be free from sin. Why is that so important? Because God hates sin. That's why it's important. Sin is what separates me from God. Boy, I have a relationship with Him, a permanent relationship. I'm thankful that no matter what sin I commit, my relationship is permanent with Christ. I'm saved. But boy, I can sure break my fellowship with Him. Sin is what breaks our fellowship with God. Boy, we ought to desire, I want to get the sin out. I want to get it out so I have close fellowship with Him. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness is the desire to be right with God more than anything else. The man or woman who hungers and thirsts for righteousness is the one who sees that his sin and rebellion is what is separating him from God. You know, it's so easy for us to see sin in other people's lives. We're all pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at that. Spotting sin in other people's lives. Boy, it's kind of a fun hobby, isn't it? But my sin is never so ugly as when I see you wearing it. Boy, it looks pretty good when I'm wearing it. But when you've got it on, it looks horrible. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Folks, I'm telling you, our flesh is a rotten thing. We are so easily deceived by ourselves. It's hard for us to look in the mirror and say, that's my sin and I don't like it. Boy, that's me. We're so quick to point out the faults of others, when if we would look in the mirror of God's Word, it's going to show us plenty in ourselves. Boy, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not this Pharisaical attitude of, I am holier, better, and more righteous than anyone else in this congregation, and someday they'll catch up to me. No, the truly righteous man is the one who looks in this book and says, woe is me, for I'm undone. The more we look in God's book, the more it shows us where we're lacking. The more we look into the mirror of God's Word. You know, I'm really happy with where I'm at in my Christian life. I really don't know that there's anything more I ought to be doing. I don't really know that I could be any more for Christ. Oh, mercy. We need to get our nose in the book. Say, God, will you show me? Will you just let me catch a glimpse of how you see me? Not how I see me. Well, I tend to see the good in me. You know, I like seeing the good in me. But there's a lot of bad in me. I need help seeing that. God, I have a hunger and thirst to be righteous. God, I'm not going to just be righteous just by having a desire to do it. God, if I'm going to be righteous, if I'm going to be right with you, would you show me? Show me the things in my life that you're not pleased with, because I may not be seeing them. We ought to want to get away from the power of sin. Boy, the power of sin, the grip of sin, drags us down. Folks, it makes us settle for living a good Christian life instead of living the best Christian life. We ought to be free from the desire to sin. You know, many times when I look at myself and I think, not only am I perhaps in the bondage of sin in an area of my life, many times I've come to accept it because I just kind of like it. You know, it's easy to just get settled into lukewarmness and mediocrity. Well, we can come to church. We can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and not hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember, this is a message to His disciples. He's not preaching to the lost. He's preaching to church folk. You know, we can look at, boy, I mean, you read through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and you think this is some hardcore preaching. You know, if you're lost, it is unreasonable. How can you expect this out of a lost person? But if you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you, hey, this is not what I expect. This is not my spin on the passage. This is what Jesus Christ is preaching to His disciples. He's saying, this is what I expect. And to that man or woman that would say, that is unreasonable, He would say, you're right, because you're not one of mine. The man or woman that says, that's a tall order. God help me to do it. I'm thankful that God is our helper. He's a big helper. Because I need help. I need His help. Boy, it's one thing to be a helper. I was preaching last night and giving the illustration about when my boys were a lot younger and they'd want to help me with jobs around the house. You know, I'd say, well, their daddy's a little helper. Well, daddy let him help, but they weren't really much of a help. You just kind of had, it was just more mess to clean up afterwards. But as they get older, as they can help saw wood and split wood and load the wood furnace, amen. They're starting to become bigger helpers. I'm telling you, folks, a helper, if you have a helper at work, sometimes you say, boy, I've got a helper, and they're a miserable helper. I've had people help me that were just miserable. You couldn't depend on them. You spent more time fixing what they messed up. But then I've had other times where I've had people that were good help. And boy, it made my job a lot easier. It made me a lot more successful. I am thankful that our Scriptures tells us that God is my helper. Well, He's got all the resources to help. and He's willing to help. Boy, we come to Him and we say, God, I need help. Boy, there's some areas in my life that I'm on. I need help. God's on our side. He's our helper. I'm thankful for that. The man or woman who hungers and thirsts after righteousness wants to rid themselves from the desire for sin. Not just externally, but internally as well. From the pollution of sin. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to desire to be free from all the horrible manifestations of sin in our life. Boy, you think of the sin. Boy, we get so easy to get trapped in this. Well, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not robbing for my employer. Boy, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. And therefore, I'm righteous. But God help us. The manifestation of sin in our lives as Christians that we hang on to, from envy to covetousness to bitterness to wrath to evil speaking. My soul, the list goes on and on. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to desire to be free from all that. You know, I'm thankful one day we will be free from all that. Amen. But folks, we ought to desire to be free from that while we're here. The positive side, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I guess you could boil it down and say, in essence, it is the desire to be holy. You know, God commands us to be holy. This isn't a task for the preacher, task for the choir, for the visitation director, for the Sunday school teachers. We are all commanded to be holy. This is not a do it if you want to thought. This is be ye holy, for I am holy. The one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is the one who longs for that more than anything else. I want to ask you a question that only you can answer tonight. What is the one thing you hunger and thirst for? I just want you to answer that in your mind. You know, what is the one thing that I hunger and thirst for? You know, your kids could probably answer it for you. What does your daddy hunger for? Oh, his job, his promotion. He's going to be president of the company someday. Hey, we ought to have ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition. But that shouldn't be the one thing that we're hungering for in our life. We've been created in the image of God. He desires to make us conformable to the image of His Son. What a gift. Man, what a blessing. That God, very God, made us in His image. And He desires to make us conformable to the image of His Son. If we'll let Him. The one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness looks to Christ and says, more than anything else, I want to be like Christ. And more than anything else, that's what I desire. It's obvious we can't attain to this, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We can't attain to this righteousness on our own. Our own behavior, our own goodness, our own decisions. We can't get there on our own. This is the worldly view. This is the secular view of righteousness. It leads to that Pharisaical pride, the sense of being better or superior to others. Most certainly hungering and thirsting cannot mean that. It cannot, because as we've seen in the previous Beatitudes, we're to be poor in spirit. It means to be consciously aware of our deep, desperate need. You know, a pain, when I think of hungering and thirsting, you know, when I'm hungry or I'm thirsty, there's not a lot else that matters. Like that pain, something that just keeps on until it's satisfied. It's not a passing desire. It's not a passing feeling. It's not something that just goes away. It's just there. Hunger is something deep that goes on and on until it's satisfied. It is like, I give the example, a few years back I went out west and I went elk hunting. Actually, it was the first time I went elk hunting out west. And it was the first morning. We didn't really know what to expect. Had a little fanny pack and I'd put a solitary bottle of water in there. We were just going out hunting for the morning. It was like 40 degrees. Thought, all right, I'll bring a bottle of water just in case. Well, when you're at elevation and you've got a billy goat, 20-year-old guide that goes up and down those mountains like it's nothing else, and you're just supposed to keep up with him. Well, it was about 30 minutes into this thing, and I'd shed my coat. It's 40-something degrees, and I'm in a T-shirt, and I'm still just sweating like crazy. It is hot. We're going up and down these mountains, and, oh, it hadn't been too long. I'd drunk half the bottle of water, and I thought, this isn't good. We're going to be in trouble unless we're only hunting until about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be out of water here pretty quick. Well, we kept going and we kept going and we kept going, and I was out of water. I was completely out. We were so far back there, and I said, when are we going to go back to the truck? Because, boy, he had some sodas and water back in the truck. And he said, oh, we're going to turn around here in just a little bit. I thought, wow, we're not even there yet, much less to go back. By the time we were turned around to head back, I could care less if I saw an elk. I didn't care what happened. My mind was like thinking, I'm going to die before I get back to the truck. I'm just going to fall over. I'm so thirsty, and it's all I could think about. All I could think about was, I need to get something to drink. It consumed my thoughts. The priority that I had, all that money that I spent to go out there and shoot an elk, I really didn't care about at that point. I thought, that can happen later after I get something to drink. I've got to go get water. And when we read this passage, it's so easy for us just to read over. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I hear you preaching. We're just supposed to be hungry and thirsty to be righteous. No, when we think of hungering and thirsting, it is an all-consuming desire. Doesn't mean that we have to move into the church and be here 24/7, 365 days a year. No, it means we go about doing our jobs. We go about living, but that hunger and thirst that possesses us is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says, boy, I hunger to be righteous. I hunger to be a righteous businessman. I hunger to be a righteous contractor. I hunger to be a righteous father and a righteous husband. I hunger for righteousness. I thirst for it. It's something that I'm ever in the pursuit of, and other things fall to the side. This takes importance, my thirst for righteousness. You know, it's like someone, I've met many in my years in the business world who more than anything, they desire a position or a promotion. And that's all they're about. That is their sole purpose in life. They cannot be still. They cannot be quiet. They're constantly working, plotting, dreaming, planning, scheming, whatever it is. They hunger and thirst for a position, and they're consumed with it, and that's what they're going to get. Folks, that's what hungering and thirsting is. That person hungers and thirsts for that position. Perhaps it's longing for a person. If you've ever been separated from someone who you love, you're not at rest, you're not satisfied until you're with them. Well, you're gone for a period of time, you just can't wait to get back home and see your wife and children. I was only overseas for 1 week when I was in business, flew over to Brazil on a business trip and was there for a week, and I'm telling you what, I could not wait to get back to my family. I was hungry and thirsty to just be back home. The psalmist sums it up quite concisely in Psalm 42:1. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Boy, he is hungering and thirsting after God. That's it. Boy, he's thirsty. He's panting for God. J.N. Darby had a great quote. He says, to be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what it is in his heart towards me. When the prodigal son was hungry, he went to feed upon the husks. But when he was starving, he turned to his father. Boy, it ought to be all-consuming. Boy, we ought to be consumed with hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Boy, well, the promise. We see the promise here lastly. What a blessed statement. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why is the man blessed that hungers and thirsts after righteousness? Because they'll be filled, that's why. They will be given what they desire. You'll never fill yourself with righteousness. You will never find blessedness apart from Him. Make sure we're not hungering and thirsting after blessedness, though. You'll never get it. You know, the sad thing is people desire blessedness and happiness. And in their pursuit of it, they never get it, and they're not righteous either. They miss out on everything. Pursuing happiness, pursuing blessedness. They never find happiness or blessedness, and they miss out on righteousness because they were pursuing the wrong thing. Well, they're a two-time loser. Or you have the man that says, I'm going to pursue righteousness. And in pursuing righteousness, he finds righteousness, blessedness, and happiness. He finds what the other man's looking for, and the other man finds nothing. Hunger and thirst to be like Christ. That's the only way you'll find blessedness and happiness that accompanies it. You know, it's a great thought. They're hungering and thirsting, but at the same time they're being filled. Almost sounds like a contradiction. You think, boy, they're hungering and thirsting, but they're filled. The blessed Christian, though, is one who at the one and same time is hungering and thirsting, yet he's being filled at the same time. The more he's filled, you know what he finds out? The more he's hungry and thirsty for righteousness. God works on our hearts and He can clean us up. And boy, as we hunger and thirst to be right with Him, the pursuit of God, as we pursue that, in our practical sanctification, boy, we take steps in that. Now, positionally, we're sanctified once and for all, positionally. But practically, boy, that's a lifelong work. Being sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Boy, He cleans us up and we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And boy, you can look back in your Christian life and you can think, man, I never believe I acted like that or said that or did that. Boy, it's good for God to work on us and clean us up. It's a wonderful thing. But he who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness is never satisfied where they are. They're not satisfied with being at the point that they are in their sanctification and saying, I'm good to go. No, you're hungry and thirsty for more while you're simultaneously being filled by Him. In conclusion tonight, Christian, are you filled? Boy, what are you hungering and thirsting for? You know, what's that one thing if you said, you know, you asked that question and I can be honest with myself, this is what I'm hungry and thirsty for. Boy, if you hunger and thirst for blessedness, happiness, you're never going to find it. Yet if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. You get all three. Oh, man, that's a good deal. Don't chase the wrong one. What a wonderful promise from God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Boy, I want to be filled with Him. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this night You've given to us. God, I'm thankful that You desire to work in our life. And God, that when we're saved, boy, it all starts. We need to be saved. We need to know we're saved to be positionally sanctified, set apart, know that we're Your child. But God, when we know that we're saved and that You are our Father and we're Your child, God, I pray that each and every one of us would ask ourselves the question here tonight, well, what do I hunger and thirst for? What am I hungry and thirsty for? God, may we purpose in our heart to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. It means getting sin out. Asking You to help us God, to sanctify us, set us apart. God, that the one consuming desire we would have in our life would be to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And then, God, that You would bless us and You would fill us. God's the only way we're going to be happy. So many searching for happiness, never able to find it when we ought to be searching and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. God, help us to be a righteous people. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all